Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, it is. Back and better than ever. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Huge day around the NFL for a million different reasons, obviously. Division round games this weekend, they're all great. I'll give you the keys to each. We'll give you picks. Chris Berman is coming up live in a half hour as the Bills circle the wagons deep in the playoffs again. We'll go through all of the playoff stuff with Boomer. And then the coaching carousel is spinning. Urban Meyer finally jumped on in Jacksonville, and the Jets have found their head coach in Robert Saleh. And everyone asking me my thoughts on the Jets coach, and understandably so, because people associate me with the franchise. I get it, and I like it. And so I was going to share my thoughts again, as I did off the top of the show. But then I got a text from my friend Dan Orlovsky, who was raving about Robert Saleh. And I said, Dan, I'm going to need you on the Goodyear hotline to jump in for a minute and share this insight. So here's Dan Orlovsky with me here on ESPN Radio. Dan, tell me why I and all the Jet fans should be excited about the new coach.
Well, good morning, Greeny. First of all, I was with Robert for a couple years earlier on in his coaching career. Number one, a remarkable listener, you know, obviously a huge part of communication is so many coaches talk at players and he listens and then talks with players. I remember having conversations with some of our defensive guys like D'Amico Ryans and them raving about how Saleh would just constantly be listening to what their input was, both in game, out of game, preparation, off season, all that stuff. Really good listener. Number two, thrived in adversity. So often coaches in our league get jobs because they had, you know, seven all pros that year and their offense or defense was incredible and they skyrocket and oh, this guy's great and they're overwhelmed. You know, they lost so many guys this year. And if you looked at the way they changed, he was adaptable. You know, he changed the way he called the defense this year because of that. I love the fluidity of his football team. The third thing would be the fact that he's bringing Matt LaFleur's little brother as a play caller. If you look at the good offenses in the NFL right now, they either have an absolute rock star at quarterback or they come from the Mike Shanahan tree. Cleveland, Tennessee, San Francisco, Green Bay, Minnesota, they're all from this Mike Shanahan tree, and it's been 40 years of being good football in the NFL. So he was number one for me as a head coaching candidate. It's an absolute home run for the New York Jet fan base.
All right. Well, I love it. And for all the obvious reasons, let me ask you a follow-up then if I can. And we'll just stay with this a minute. And then I'll get to the green list coming up shortly. But the offense that they're going to run. So Adam Schefter, I don't know if you saw this, but he was on SportsCenter last night. And you and I both know Schefter well enough to know he doesn't say these things because it's his opinion. He says this because someone is telling it to him. Mm-hmm. He said that he expects Sam Darnold to be the starting quarterback for the Jets when the season begins. So you know this offense, that this is Matt LaFleur, Rob LaFleur's offense, and it's been so successful in Green Bay. You played in it. You know it. Does that work for Sam Darnold? Is that the right decision for the Jets to make?
It does not work for Sam Darnold. It's the exact absolute fit for Sam Darnold. This is the custom made offense for Sam Darnold's skill set. This is not something that is just going to work if Sam is there. This is going to be the perfect situation scheme wise for Sam Darnold. We're talking about an offense that one is about manipulation. Two, gets the quarterback out on the perimeter on a consistent basis. Three, builds in easy throws. And four, then five times a game is going to ask him to make big time throws, and you have to have the talent to do that, especially on the move. So this isn't a fit. This is a place where a quarterback's talent like Sam Darnold can excel in. Think of 2 years ago, I think it was Jeremy Bates' offense when Sam, I think on the backside of his rookie year, started to play good football. Mm-hmm. Think of that offense, but accelerated. And that's why, you know, I'll be candid with you, Greeny. I had some conversations over the past 3 weeks with people that are attached to Sam. And they asked me, Dan, if he's not in New York, what is the one place that you think he needs to get to revive or thrive? And I told them, get to San Francisco. I don't care what it costs you. Get to San Francisco. It's the scheme. It's the offense that will allow his talent to shine. Now the San Francisco scheme comes to New York.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is delightful. Let's play some celebratory music because this is about as good as it could possibly get. Dan, thanks a million for jumping in. I appreciate it. I appreciate you sharing this insight. We'll see you on NFL Live later today.
Later, Greeny.
All right. That's Dan Orlovsky. Again, he texted me a little sort of abbreviated version of that while I was on Get Up this morning. And I just texted him back, can you pop on the radio with me for 2 minutes and share that? And that wound up being even more and even better than I expected. I'll just stay with this a minute, and then we'll come back and we'll do the green list coming up a little bit later here. And I'll remind you that if you miss anything, I did an entire monologue on the Jets and their hiring earlier today. If you missed it, you can always catch up with any part of the show because it's a podcast. They take each hour. They make it its own little individual one-hour podcast. It's called Hashtag Greeny, and it's available anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. But the most important thing, if you look at the situations of the top two teams in the draft, the two worst teams in the NFL, the one-win Jaguars and the two-win Jets, both hired their coaches yesterday. And there are a lot of similarities between the two situations. In Jacksonville, they've got a very high draft pick. Well, they have the first draft pick. They've got a bunch of other draft picks that they've accumulated, and they have a ton of free agent money. So they were a very attractive vacancy, and Urban Meyer decided to jump in, something I honestly did not think he would do. You heard me say this if you were listening a few weeks ago. I said I will be stunned if Urban does ultimately decide to go coach in the NFL, and I am. I'm stunned. This seems to me to be going way outside of his comfort zone, so I'm surprised. The Jets situation isn't that different. They have a bunch of draft capital. They have a bunch of free agent money. The enormous difference is the uncertainty at quarterback. That's the difference. In Jacksonville, you're taking Trevor Lawrence. People are telling you, and Urban is telling you with his actions, that he believes Trevor Lawrence is going to be a superstar. Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and all these people who analyze this stuff for a living say he's got everything it takes to be a great player, and he probably will, which makes that a very attractive opening. The next pick, the Jets, I mean, the step down from number one to number two in this draft is colossal. So the big question is, what do the Jets decide to do at quarterback? Again, Shefty told you on TV last night it's going to be Darnold. And Dan Orlovsky just said it's a perfect fit for Darnold. So we hope for the best. I've been saying all year in an entirely different and much more important context, to be optimistic costs the same as being pessimistic. So I'm going to be optimistic. We'll see what happens. If nothing else, as I said before, our coach is cooler looking than your coach. We now have the coolest looking head coach in the National Football League. That dude looks like a movie star. He should be in like action movies. So I'm excited about that. Chris Berman coming up later in this hour. But up next, the green list inspired by Urban Meyer. Who were the five most successful coaches who went directly from college to the NFL? We count them down next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
This is Greeny. I'm presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com. The one, the only, the legend, Chris Berman, live in 15 minutes. But right now, it's time for the list.
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
Green List.
All right, the Green List. Every single day, I choose my top five. And again, I, as the world's foremost authority on all matters, am the final word on these subjects. So with Urban Meyer accepting the job to be the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, today's green list is the top five success stories of NFL coaches who went directly from college to the pros.
Number five.
Number five is Dennis Green. Dennis Green, I think, is an altogether forgotten great NFL coach. People sometimes remember him only for saying the Bears are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. If you want to crown them, then crown them. Dennis Green was a great coach. He coached in Minnesota for 10 years. He made the playoffs 8 of those years with 7 different quarterbacks starting playoff games. Dennis Green went to the playoffs with Sean Salisbury, Jim McMahon, Warren Moon, Brad Johnson, Randall Cunningham twice, Jeff George, and Dante Culpepper as his quarterbacks. Dennis Green was a great coach. Never won a championship, and so he is altogether sometimes forgotten. You may recall he had great success. He was the head coach at Stanford. He coached Northwestern. He was actually the head football coach at Northwestern when I arrived. My freshman year at Northwestern, he was the head football coach. My first year there was his last year there in 1985. So Dennis Green is number five on the list of the great college coaches who went directly to the pros.
Number four.
Number four is Dick Vermeil. Dick Vermeil had an all-time great college career. He's still with us. Dick is 84 years old and was a great coach. I remember him, of course, in his first stint with the Philadelphia Eagles. It was the first time I'd ever heard the phrase burnout, where he was the first NFL coach who really talked about the rigors of the job and how exhausting it was and sleeping in the office and everything else. And he walked away from it and had a huge career in broadcasting and came back, took over the Rams, and led them to one of the most improbable Super Bowl championships ever, the high-flying, greatest show on turf Rams. People forget that he was a college coach. But Vermeil had one Super Bowl and one of 6 head coaches who led 2 different teams to a Super Bowl. Shula, Parcells, Holmgren, Reeves, and John Fox are the others. So Dick Vermeil is number 4 on the list of the greatest coaches in NFL history who went directly from college.
Number 3.
3 is Coughlin, Tom Coughlin, head coach of the Giants, who won 2 championships there, beat the greatest team in history, or kept the Patriots from being the greatest team in history. They were 18-0, and then they ran into Coughlin and Eli and that NASCAR package on defense, and that was it. He also, Tom Coughlin, led the Jacksonville Jaguars to the AFC Championship game in the second year of their existence. He had a winning record in 8 seasons in Jacksonville with a franchise that he took over as a brand new franchise, what do you call it, as an expansion team. And, of course, had the great success with the Giants and is going to the Hall of Fame. He spent 3 years at Boston College before he went to the pros. He's number 3 on today's green list of the greatest NFL coaches who came directly from college.
Number 2.
Number 2 is Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, who won a national championship at the U, is one of only 3 coaches to win both a Super Bowl and a national championship. Went to Dallas and won 2 Super Bowls there, but I credit him for 3. And candidly, had it not been for the pettiness and ego of the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson may very well have won 5 or 6. They were that good. And he built a team. He parlayed the Herschel Walker trade and other things into one of the great examples ever of roster management, putting a team together. And we all know the teams. I mean, they were a legendary group in the 90s with Aikman and Emmitt and Michael Irvin. And you could go down that up and down that roster. So many great players. Jimmy Johnson was a great NFL coach. He was a great college coach and a great NFL coach. And honestly, when I first sat down to do this, I had him penciled in at number 1. And I thought, who am I going to put around him on the rest of the list? But then I looked more closely. I'm looking at Brandon Phillips, our stage manager. Do you know who I hadn't thought of? Do you know who was number 1?
Number 1.
Number 1 is Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh was the head coach at Stanford before he became the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. He went directly from Stanford to San Francisco. His first year there, they drafted a quarterback by the name of Joe Montana, and the rest is history. Bill Walsh's success, you don't need me to tell you his numbers. He won 3 Super Bowls as the coach of the 49ers. But he is also one of the 5 most important football coaches in the history of the sport. His offense is still something that is basically run today by half the good teams in the sport. They've adapted it, obviously, over the course of years. Everything adjusts. But his offense, the West Coast offense, that came from Bill Walsh. And his coaching tree is ridiculous. His coaching tree, among his coaching tree, and I'm only reading you a third of it, George Seifert, who won the other two Super Bowls that that group wound up winning, Mike Holmgren, Dick LeBeau, who's probably the greatest defensive coordinator of all time, Jeff Fisher, who took a team to a Super Bowl, Brian Billick, who won a Super Bowl, Tony Dungy, who won a Super Bowl, Steve Mariucci, who had an excellent career in coaching, John Gruden, who won a Super Bowl, Andy Reid, who won a Super Bowl, Marty Morningwig, who's been around forever, John Fox, who won a Super Bowl. That's just a tiny little portion of the coaches who would be considered part of Bill Walsh's coaching tree. So today's green list of the greatest coaches to go directly from college to the pros, at number 5, Dennis Green, number 4, Dick Vermeil, number 3, Tom Coughlin, number 2, Jimmy Johnson, number 1 is Bill Walsh. Now, I know what you're thinking. There are two names that I somewhat controversially left off of this list. One of them is Pete Carroll, and I can tell you the reason I left Carroll off is that he had been a head coach in the NFL before he went to USC. Certainly, his tenure in Seattle now justifies his being on the list. But he had been an NFL head coach already. So that's why I didn't include him on the list. And the other that I left off is Barry Switzer, who won 3 national championships in college and won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys. And it is probably unfair for me to say this, but I have always thought of that as Jimmy's championship. I do. I still think of it today. And I'm sure if he's listening, he's mad. And his friends and family and fans have a right to be mad at me. Because it's probably not fair, I grant you. But it's my list. And so that is the list that is today's green list of the 5 greatest straight from college head coaches in NFL history. Coming up next.
Take it from these two guys.
No one.
No one.
Circles the wagons. Circles the wagons.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
The man who made that phrase legend, the great Chris Berman, live next on ESPN Radio.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
This is Greeny coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. I'm presented by Progressive Insurance. And you know, we were sitting around the staff the other day and we were saying the Buffalo Bills are making a deep run into the NFL playoffs. There is one voice we need to hear, and that is the voice of the man who made this phrase legend.
Take it from these two guys.
No one.
No one.
Circles the wagons. Circles the wagons.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
And they are back, and he is better than ever. The great Chris Berman is with me on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Chris Berman.
Greeny, you are the hardest working man in showbiz. Good morning. There's so much excitement, well, in Buffalo in particular. And, you know, this is the best weekend in football. We talk about the 8 teams left and the 2 bottom feeders, right? The Jets and Jacksonville picking coaches. So if you're a football fan, this is a 12-course meal this weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, before we get to it, I just need to ask you, because I don't think I know this. How did Circle the Wagons start?
You know, I don't know exactly the moment. It was certainly the team that it's while they were on their Super Bowl run. Could have been 89, which they didn't quite get to the championship game. But let's say 90. It was probably a couple games they were in trouble, and they pulled it out. I don't mean unbelievable Houdini, but it didn't look good. And it was in the middle. It was an ad-lib on NFL primetime, let's just say, in 1990. And like some of the things you throw up in the air, Greeny, some of them stick. And when Thurman Thomas had his number retired up there, and Bruce did too before that, I led the fans at halftime on it. And I didn't know it would be this big. And, I mean, I didn't do that to be famous, whatever. It was like a rock and roll singer hearing people sing his song when he stops. I went, no one circles the, and I stopped, and there were 70,000 people saying it at halftime of like Thurman's game. It was like, ooh, okay, I guess we started something. Answer is, don't know when the original seed was planted.
Well, one way or another, it is the stuff of legend, and I can tell you, I had Thurman on about an hour and a half ago, and I played that, and he said it gives him the chills to this day to hear you say no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. So here they are back.
Nice of him.
They're circling the wagons again, Boomer. What do you think? As you watch this group, which is, you know, obviously totally different from the group that circled the wagons once upon a time, but once again led by a quarterback who looks like he's going to be special, what do you think of this team?
Well, this team has been built unbelievably if you just look at the 3 years with the selection of the quarterback and the addition of Diggs this year being unbelievable home runs, although we didn't say that with Allen. You know, a lot of people didn't when he was first playing, but oh my goodness. So this team, offensively, the sky is the limit. Next year they may be even better because they may run better. But with Diggs and Beasley and a Josh Allen, who you see it, he can be magical. I mean, he's little did we know he could do all this. Here's the biggest thing. It's like the huge exhale by him. The game has come to him. The game has unbelievably slowed down. So what I make of this group is an offense that has exceeded preseason expectations. Not they had good ones, but maybe busted through the ceiling, Greeny. The defense, which last year and maybe later this year has been good, hasn't quite gotten to where you thought that it would. Now, in the playoffs, I mean, they still have one or two or three games left. They have possibilities both sides of the ball, and they have very good special teams. And the quarterback, like Jim Kelly did, embraced the community, and they've embraced him. I mean, and it's real. Everything but 70,000 people in the stadium.
Yeah, which is a shame we won't have that tomorrow night, but it is what it is, and at least we get these games, Greeny and the great Chris Berman. You know, when you said the big exhale, that also made me think of the other quarterback in this game. And I was talking to Tony Dungy about this earlier this week, and we were reminiscing about when Peyton Manning was 0 for the playoffs. And Tony was telling me about all the pressure that existed on him. And then once he got one win, how much more relaxed he was and how much better he played. Do you expect something similar to that from Lamar Jackson here?
I do, because both of these quarterbacks, I mean, Lamar was 0-2 and Josh 0-1. I mean, they had a big lead last year. I think once you open the door to something, the sky is the limit. And Tony, talking about Peyton, knows that. To a lesser degree, but it's more history with Cleveland. But, you know, the three teams other than the Chiefs, the door is now open where it was closed just a couple of days ago, right? So I believe you're right. I mean, their winning streak speaks for itself. And now that they've each opened the door, this may be a fantastic. Nobody leads by more than 7 or 10 at any point in the game. I don't know that we're going to see 40 to 35 or anything like that, but this will be pushing around the 30 mark, and it could very well be, for the reasons that you've identified, both of these quarterbacks. I don't want to say house money. That's stupid. Guy was the MVP last year. Mahomes won the Super Bowl a year after he was the MVP, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last with ball, May win this game, you know, like 31-27, something in that range. This is going to be fantastic. the door is open, and these guys are willing to bust it wide open.
Greeny and the great Chris Berman. So let's divide up the conversation into the two conferences, and I will frame it this way. The AFC, the four starting quarterbacks in the AFC, have an average age of just under 25 years old. That is the youngest in the history of the sport. The NFC quarterbacks have an average age of just over 37 years old. That is the oldest in the history of the sport. So you got the great juxtaposition on the two sides. Let's start in the AFC with these young guns. Just give me a sense of how you see it playing out this weekend.
Well, we've talked about the Baltimore-Buffalo game. I just think both of them, you know, can the Bills stop the running game? And I don't only mean Lamar Jackson, because Lamar, 240-yard runs equal 240-yard bombs that Woody Hayes would have loved, right, Greeny?
Yeah.
Like, the ball, two out of three things are bad if you throw it. Well, he's running. So can the Bills stop a running game that has gained, what, in the six-game winning streak now, like about 1,600 yards? The key player there, watch number 58, Matt Milano. He's outstanding on tracing the ball. How deep in the middle of the field? How deep is he making a bunch of tackles along with Edmonds? If they can keep the running game, and that's more than Lamar in not check but without going wild, then they can win. If they can't stop it, and nobody has in a month and a half, they're going to be in trouble again. I think the last team with the ball wins it, and I mean, I have to lean to Buffalo, but I will not be shocked if Baltimore keeps rolling, because they have a Super Bowl winning coach and they've done this before, right? So, or he has. The other game, you know, the easy thing to say, Greeny, and I know we don't have a lot of time, when will we, I don't mean to say the real Chiefs, because other than the resting their guys the last game, they've won 24 of 25. Let that set in, right?
Yeah.
Will we see the Chiefs, who, when they played Tampa late in the year, when they played New Orleans late in the year, when they played Miami, a playoff contender, and it, you know, allowed the other team to get within a score or something, but really they had the game in hand, these are the playoffs, will they get that score or two to put it out of reach? The really good teams do that, and I think this is not a knock on Cleveland. There's the ultimate house money, and God bless them and their fans, too. Will the Chiefs do it for 60 minutes? If so, maybe too much. I have a great number for you in the NFC, but I'll let you tee me up first.
Well, yeah, let's hear it. You got the legend. You got 85 years worth of quarterback in the one game in New Orleans, with Brees turning 42 today and Brady at 43. And then you have Rodgers, who's having maybe the best season of his career, up against a great defense with the Rams. Let's go through it.
Well, let's go with all those years at quarterback. I have a number better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Combined, Tom and Drew, and I redid the math last night to add the playoff game in which Tom Brady threw for almost 400 in their win over Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that they combined have thrown for 100 miles? It was 99.5 going into the playoffs. I had it written down. I said, you know, let me look this up. They've just eclipsed the 100-mile mark. So if you want to drive, Greeny, from your studio to up here in Connecticut, just think that Drew and Tom threw for that, okay?
Exactly.
So,
right.
How do I see that? Field goal game, I lean to the Saints. The defense is a little better. This is Tom Brady in the playoffs, who's, what, 31-11 or something like that? But do we believe in a storybook? John Elway won the Super Bowl and rode off into the sunset, as did Peyton Manning. Do we believe that for Drew Brees? I'm a storybook kind of guy. Tom's going to play another year. I don't think Drew will. So are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
There's a sentimentalist in me. It would be kind of nice to see. And in that regard, don't you agree with that?
Of course. Yeah, there's no question, I think, that this is Brees' last go-around. But there's even less question that Brady's coming back. Brady doesn't show any signs of stopping anytime soon. So I totally agree.
No. So, I mean, but that doesn't win the game, sentimentality. But
sure.
That's going to be one for the history books, of course, and maybe they'll get to 101 miles by the time the game is over with. The other one, like Tennessee, was an outlier, meaning we have a 2,000-yard back, and that's really what we do the best. So here's this team in this year of COVID where it took 2 months for anybody to play really solid defense. Football people will tell you that. I mean, not that nobody was any good at it, but not out of the gates. Mm-hmm. Remember, September numbers and all the numbers for the year are off the charts, right, Greeny?
Yeah.
So here's this anachronism, the Rams. I'm not knocking them. I'm saying, wow. Can they hold Aaron Rodgers to 20? And can Jared Goff, with three metal pins in his thumb, in 20 degrees, can they get 23? I think gone is Aaron is on it. It would be hard to think of Aaron Rodgers playing the year that he did, which is unreal and probably will net him an MVP, having one of those games like the two San Franciscos last year, for example. They had one against Tampa this year, right? But that Packer team that every now and then, like, ooh, they got beat by 30. How did that happen? They seem better. I think this is a three-point game, but I don't see the Rams. It is like, you know, 24-20, 23-20 Packers. Can Aaron Donald wreck this game? He's wrecked a lot. It's just, I don't know that they quite have enough firepower on offense. They're not wasting this defense. These are circumstances beyond their control. McVay will have a hell of a game plan, though. He did against Seattle. This will be outstanding. But Aaron, I can't see him exiting one and out. I don't see it. I just don't. Do you?
I agree. No, I don't. I agree. I think I actually made the exact same pick you just did. I picked 23-20 in favor of the Packers. I said they're going to win, but it's not going to be easy. And if Goff was fully healthy, maybe you would have a different story. But you've got the one quarterback who's out, and you've got the other one now with the, you know, pins in the thumb, and it's going to be 30 degrees and maybe snowing. So I think that is a tough place. Chris, I have to run, but I just want to say that all season long it has made, I know, not just me, but millions of people feel great to see you back with NFL Primetime on ESPN+, and it is a pleasure to hear your voice here. Happy New Year, and enjoy the games this weekend.
Always enjoy my visits with you. We're doing one more round of them this weekend in the playoffs, Greeny, after the game Saturday and Sunday, and they run all week. You're not done with me yet.
All right, well, we're looking forward to it. Thank you, Boomer. You're the
Thank
best.
Thank you.
The great Chris Berman with me here on ESPN Radio. I'm a kid who grew up watching him and idolizing him and wanting to be on ESPN in large part because he said fun things like this.
Take it from these two guys.
No one.
No one.
Circles the wagons. Circles the wagons.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
And so we'll see. And so when I realized the Bills were making a deep run, and I realized how many times I've said it. I've said no one circles the wagons on this show a million times. I said we got to call Boomer and have him say it and look ahead to the games. And so I appreciate him doing that very much. In exactly 30 seconds, we will do Who You Got, because we have to finish up the week with that as we look ahead to not just the games this weekend, but some of the other big questions around the world of sports. Bubba will ask me the magical question, Who You Got, exactly 30 seconds from now.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it.
Who you got?
All right, who you got means hashtag Bubba, my disheveled board operator, who is going to run me through some of the big questions around the world of sports, and it's a binary choice. I get to choose who I've got. Hello again, Bubba.
Yeah, hello.
You enjoyed Chris Berman there, right? You like it's nice to hear from
classic.
Bubba.
Absolutely. Grew up as well, watching Primetime, me and my dad every Sunday. It was the greatest.
Doesn't get better. Okay. Where do we start?
We're going to start first by saying Who You Got, brought to you by Grainger. And then I'm going to say, now that Urban Meyer's in Jacksonville, the next question is, what happens with that first pick? Is there any chance he goes with Justin Fields? What do you think they will do? Lawrence or Fields, who you got?
That will be the easiest one you asked me today. I think there is zero chance they take Justin Fields. I think Trevor Lawrence's presence is the biggest reason Urban Meyer decided to take this job. And in fact, I'll throw in a corollary. I don't even believe when it's all said and done that Justin Fields will be the second quarterback taken in this draft. Everything I'm hearing from people tells me that Zach Wilson, the kid from BYU, is going to rocket up these draft boards. The comparisons that David Pollack made for him on my TV show were Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding? So Zach Wilson, I believe there's a chance he goes number two, but no chance he goes number one. Bubba, what's next?
Yeah, the popcorn is popping. We've got Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, Robert Saleh with the Jets, and it looks like Arthur Smith with the Falcons. So let's fast forward 3 years. Which team will be having the most success? Jaguars, Jets, or Falcons? Who you got?
All right. So I'm going to answer this question honestly, and I'm going to be accused of homerism and any number of other things.
Not going to do it.
I believe it is going to be the Jets. I believe the Jets are going to get much better quickly.
Wow.
I think that the Jets have a blank slate that they can paint. I think what they did to Sam Darnold by decimating their own roster of talent was completely unfair, but they've now left themselves the opportunity to build a roster quickly. They've got all this cap space. They have an exciting new coaching staff. They have all these draft picks, and I'm a big fan. If they get the quarterback right, and I've always believed in Darnold, I think they've got a chance. Now, the Jaguars is the easy one to say because they've got the legendary coach and they've got the number one pick in the quarterback and they've got just as much cap space and draft picks. But I'm going to say, maybe with my heart as much as my head, I'm going to say the Jets. Let's mark the tape. We'll come back and we'll see in a couple of years if I was right. Greeny and Bubba with Who You Got on ESPN Radio. Bubba, what's next?
Let me just ask you this one question. Do the Jets have an offensive genius?
Just, they got
I
rid
don't
of,
think they do.
They got rid of the brilliant offensive mind.
Yeah,
they got rid of the brilliant offensive mind.
So good
mind.
Luck winning without him.
I'm
okay. Best of luck.
I like that one.
Let's go to the NBA. LeBron's got four titles. Kevin Durant has two. But now KD has James Harden, and that should help him in the East. But is it enough to get him some more titles? So who finishes their career with more titles? Are we LeBron or KD? Who you got?
Oh, I thought the other one was the easiest one that you asked me. The answer is LeBron James. And I'll tell you what. LeBron James is currently sitting at four. By the time we are having this conversation, you and I, around July 4th, assuming we get to the finish line of this thing, he'll be sitting on five. The Brooklyn Nets, I believe, will win the East based upon their acquisitions. The Kyrie thing is not going to get better. Even when he comes in, I'm telling you, that is something that is going to hover around them and above them all year long. And they also had to decimate their own roster in order to get James Harden, whereas the Lakers added pieces and youth and depth this offseason. The Lakers are a better team than the Nets. LeBron remains the best player in the game in big games. And so I believe that LeBron will win his fifth this year, and there is no doubt in my mind he will finish with more championships than KD. You have one more?
Is that a KOD right there? You going KOD?
I
don't talk over it.
Where is it?
Don't talk over it.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
See, it sounds like it's ending, and then it doesn't end. That's the first time I didn't talk over the end of that.
There you go. Congrats. All right, let's do one more, a little NFL. Yesterday on Twitter, at ESPN Greeny, you asked, which underdog do you like to win straight up this weekend? So I'll ask you now, which underdog, Rams, Ravens, Browns, or Bills, who you got?
I picked two of them. I picked the Bucks to win, and I picked the Ravens to win. If you're asking me which of those I am more confident in, I would say Ravens. So I will say Ravens. But I will finish by saying I believe all four underdogs could win straight up this weekend, including Cleveland. Now, it never happened. You'll never get all four of them. But there's not a one of them that would shock me, and I think we have the potential for an outstanding NFL divisional weekend. Bubba, let's talk about Grainger.
All right, who you got? Brought to you by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by.
All right, it's been a terrific week. Thank you to everyone who chose to hang out with me. It has been a pleasure to be back here with you during this. Now we're in our new time slot. Now we've got a couple of other mechanical things sort of set exactly where we want them. So here we are, ready to go, and we will be together going forward now. Until the end of time, spending these 2 hours today talking sports, it should be a fabulous weekend. Good luck to your team and good luck to mine with the new head coach. As you just heard, I am optimistic. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you Monday on Get Up and back here on ESPN Radio.